Since 1980, Ray Pika, today's guest, has been an education consultant specializing in whole child development, children's physical activity, and the mind-body connection. Ray is a former college instructor, and she is the author of 19 books. Ray's experience and insights have been sought out by Sesame Street Research Department, Head Start, Centers for Disease Control, the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, Nickelodeon's Blues Clues, Gymboree, Nike, and state health departments throughout the country. There's more. I could read it to you, but why don't you go to the website, her website. It's www.raypika.com. She spells her name R-A-E-P-I-C-A. I've been learning from Ray for years, but actually never made contact until recently when I saw that she had created an online course to help early childhood educators with the massive challenge of creating smooth transitions between activities. So I recommend that you get your notepaper out and get ready to gain some fantastically fun and very practical ways to make everybody's school time flow more smoothly for much happier days for everyone, you and your students. Welcome to the Big Picture Social Emotional Learning Podcast. My name is Nene White. I had high expectations for the value of this conversation with Ray, but she exceeded them in every way. And I can't wait to hear if you agree. So I hope you'll let me know. Thank you. Welcome, everybody, to a conversation I have been looking forward to. Actually, I didn't even know I could ever have a conversation like this with our guest today, but it's happening. Welcome, Ray Pika.
Thank you, Nene. Thanks for inviting me.
I have been aware of you for years and have recommended you and what you offer to countless teachers. Oh. And now, truly, I think that what you do is clear and practical and just brings success to teachers, and I have nothing but respect for you. So thank you.
Well, I have been around for years. many years.
Well, good. Thank you for being around. Today I see that you're offering teachers a way to have smoother transitions, and oh Lordy, we all know that's something that we could all have help with, especially on a consistent basis throughout the day, throughout the week.
So, yeah, it was surprising to me, you know, as I was leading up to the launch of my online course on transitions, the excitement it seemed to generate on social media. I thought, wow, they really, really want to hear about transitions.
I completely believe it. Yeah. So I have a few questions for you, but feel free to you know, go and extrapolate in any directions you want. But my first question is, I'm just wondering why you think that transitions are so challenging for teachers and probably for kids too. And I'm sure that there's more than one answer, so I want to hear all your answers.
Okay, well, I think teachers are doing transitions the way they've always been done, which is to say, asking children to do what they're not yet developmentally ready to do. I mean, if we think about it, you know, in my presentations, I ask the audience to tell me a couple of words that come to mind when I mention transitions. And they say things like, you know, frustrating, chaotic, et cetera, et cetera. And then I ask them, not developmentally speaking, not academically speaking, sorry.
Yeah.
What are a couple of things that young children aren't yet developmentally ready to do? Mm-hmm. And they say things like, be quiet, be still, stand in line. And of course, those of all the things we ask them to do mm-hmm. with transitions. So we're setting ourselves and the children up for failure right from the get-go.
Ouch.
So yeah. I say, let's try it a different way.
Yeah. Good. So basically, we need to look at things differently, which is the life of an educator, right? You can never stop looking at things differently and improving. So.
So
yeah, exactly. So Transitions probably require some planning ahead. So that requires looking at your whole day. What's required in all of that? And
Well, I think that transitions do need to be planned in the same way the rest of the program is planned. I don't want early childhood teachers to feel as though I'm saying, they've got to create lesson plans for it. I mean, heaven forbid. But if they have a collection of finger plays and songs and transition activities, I don't know, do people keep these things in notebooks and on index cards anymore? I hope so, because they're really easy to just grab one. But then, the children aren't waiting, which is another thing that they're not very good at. So, having them planned, having them aligned with the transition itself. For example, if you're going to snack or lunch, why not do something that relates to food, so that it is a continuation of the learning. Let's see, they can, move in the shape of a carrot. They love to move like soup sloshing in the bowl. They love to move like jello wiggling. I mean, they're young children. Let's appeal to their wonderful imaginative senses, and
And
have
their
some fun with
playful sense,
it.
yes.
Yes. And early childhood professionals should be playful too if they've gone into this field.
Heck yes. Oh, that's lovely. I love that. Oh, good. Are there any more examples you want to give us? Oh, that's I can't stop smiling now.
Well, let's see. I have been in schools doing site visits and such, and I've watched the frustration grow. I mean, in one instance, to the point where the teacher was screaming at the children to go up the stairs, in a straight line, quiet, blah blah. And I just wonder why the children couldn't pretend to be climbing a mountain instead of, going up a flight of stairs. Now, or why not play a game of follow the leader in which the teacher at the head of the line tiptoes in an exaggerated manner? As I say, you're supposed to have fun teaching in early childhood. So the kids would love that, would love that. And if you've got to go down a hall where there are other classes taking place and you need to be quiet, well, why not pretend to be kitty cat stalking a bird or a weightless astronaut? I mean, gosh, there are just a gazillion possibilities.
Absolutely. And sometimes I just think that teachers need to be remember when they were a kid. And I
Yes.
mean, it sounds like you haven't forgotten.
Well, maybe not. I perhaps have never grown up,
Yeah,
which is
good.
fine. But it's funny because I just wrote a blog post this week about, our expectations of children, and I quoted Bev Boss, who talked about childhood amnesia, and she said if adults could remember, the late great Bev Boss, and she said if adults could remember what it was like to be a child, we wouldn't be asking them to do the things we're asking them to do right now, childhood amnesia.
Okay, S thank you. Oh my gosh, this is so rich.
Oh.
So sometimes kids, they're really engaged in something. What do you do with those kids that are really focusing in on their Lego or their clay or their painting or their costume play or how do you get them to shift gears? I mean, that's a bigger challenge.
It is a challenge because young children really do become engaged in things, and that is how they learn best. But sadly, in this education climate, that's becoming less and less possible. Nini, someone told me just recently that she was subbing in a classroom where the children were expected to transition, and I just can't even believe I'm going to say this, every 8 to 10 minutes. I mean, it leaves you speechless, doesn't it? It's actually insane. And it's contrary to everything we know about young children, how they learn, how the brain works, all the research. It's just contrary to all of that. So, I mean, I think the best way to make them feel respected is to interrupt them as few times as possible.
Yes.
Just have as few transition as possible. Beyond that, I think we need to respect their level of development, the ways in which they learn. So the examples that I gave you, do respect them as
Yes.
stage of development they're at, their minds, their wonderful, wonderful minds, and when they're engaged, body and mind, then I mean that's what they love. They find joy in that sort of thing. So if they're pretending to be a weightless astronaut or a soup sloshing in the bowl, they're less likely to act out, right? Because they're just fully engaged. But if we ask them to walk with their hands behind their backs with bubbles in their mouths, I just don't feel that respects them at all.
No.
So I guess an answer to your question is the fewer transition, as few as possible, and then make them as enjoyable as possible so the children don't resent them.
Right. I mean, I can't even shift that often.
Oh,
That eight,
no.
yeah, it's very unnatural.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a new app on my phone, which I was very proud to find, because it was my intention in 2019 to get up from my seat more often as I work, because man, I
Yes.
can get stiff. But it didn't
Yes.
ever happen. So as I was contemplating it for 2020, I thought, well, how am I going to make this happen? And so I found this app and I set it to remind me every 30 minutes to get up. And even at 30 minutes, sometimes I'm so fully involved in what I'm doing that I swear at the darn thing because I just, I don't want to be interrupted.
Right.
And it's even more so with children, So we have to give them transitions that they'll look forward to and that they'll enjoy.
Right. And I imagine that when most of the kids are doing it and it looks like they're having fun, then that can help the other kids. Is there anything that you want to comment on that
No, I think
effect?
that's absolutely true. I often say that if, all the children don't come gather for story time or don't resist playing a game or something, if you just start without them, almost, I mean, I don't mean to be manipulative, but
Right.
they do want to be a part of things. And so it's better than arguing with them, with debating with them and taking time. Children who do want to get started. So I think the same thing does work with transitions. If the rest of the children look like they're having fun, then the reluctant ones will join in.
It's human nature, it's kid nature. Yeah. Oh, I love this. This is so practical. The benefits for kids to have positive associations with changing gears, transitions. What have you seen for kids in the long view that what have you observed for the kids, for the teachers, for the class, for the whole development of the whole class? What can you give us any insights on that?
Well, I think that if the transitions don't occur too frequently, children will learn to bring closure to activities, which is something they're going to have to learn. I don't
Right.
know when I say that, I'm reluctant because we talk about teaching children to sit still in preschool because they're going to have to learn to do that in kindergarten and up, and that is not. We have to respect where they are in preschool. I use the
Yeah.
example, most kids will have to learn to drive eventually, but that doesn't mean you stick them behind the wheel when they're four, but yeah, they will, learn to bring closure to activities. They'll learn to follow directions. But for me, the big thing that the transition should offer is that they be part of the overall learning experience. There's no reason why they can't be linked to curriculum content. A lot of experts have called transitions a waste of learning time. But if we think about, the food examples, well, food is part of nutrition, which comes under the content area of science. If they're pretending to be weightless astronauts or kitty stocking birds, again, we're talking science. If we ask them to move, as lightly as though they were walking on eggs, they didn't want to break them. Well, lightly is an adverb and it's part of emergent literacy. I mean, there's just so many ways. Follow the leader. It may seem like just, play an old game, but The children are learning to physically replicate what their eyes are seeing, and that's challenging, and it's what they'll need to do when they learn to write their letters and numbers. And so there's no reason why it can't be part of the learning process. And I think that that's all they need to be tied to the curriculum content and engaging the children's minds and bodies.
Oh, God. This makes complete sense. Complete
Oh,
sense.
my mother always told me I had no common sense. So,
Oh, well, I graduated from high school with a D minus average. So.
well, good for you. I mean, seriously, high school was not the best time for a lot of us.
Right. I mean, it's just I didn't have that kind of a brain. I had a different kind of a brain that wasn't, noticed then, but I managed to climb out of that hole of, well, yeah. Anyway, it's just that what that experience taught me, and I don't mean this to be about me, but it just really made me see that we are all so different and we all have to be seen in our uniqueness. And that so much goes as teachers with our ch the children in our care. I mean, because we don't know how their unique form of intelligence will manifest and when it will manifest,
Exactly. So why are we sticking worksheets in front of them and making them standardized tests and all that sort of thing? You know, as though we want them to fit into some sort of mold. I mean, good grief.
Good grief. Emphasis on the grief. Okay, one final question, as much as I'd love to talk about this all day long. This podcast, as you know, is the Big Picture Social Emotional Learning podcast. And so social emotional learning is the basic thread through all of these conversations. How do you see this great big topic of transitions fitting into the overall topic of kids' social emotional learning? Both, and I want to say both short term and long term,
Okay,
please.
well, I mean, children will learn to move easily into and out of group situations, and that involves cooperation and consideration. And to me, this is huge in our competitive society. I mean, to me, learning to be part of a society, learning to cooperate and collaborate is like one of the top, maybe the most important thing children can learn in early childhood. I mean, we are so competitive, especially in this country, and it's getting worse all the time. But and so you know, children, 4-year-olds prefer cooperative activities to competitive ones, but we don't give them that chance often enough. You know, we play musical chairs that eliminates, and we play chess that eliminates. And where do they learn to cooperate? If we think about life, you know, if you're talking long term, we have relationships with life partners, well, with family members, first of all, life partners, co-workers, community members, church members, whatever it might be. To me, I see more opportunities for cooperation in a lifetime than I do for competition. You know, I mean, we act as though it's hand-to-hand combat out there. There are only six A's to go around in the classroom. So I think that some of these activities, you know, that involve cooperation and consideration are really, really, really significant, both short and long term in the children's social and emotional development. Because what could be more important than learning how to get along with everyone?
Hallelujah, sister. Thank you. Really profound. And it's so simple. It's right in our face. We all hear the truth of what you're saying, but it's just like the culture or the media or the what is putting this other reality in front of us. And we don't have to accept that. And we don't have to mold our children like that.
Exactly. We do not have to accept it. And we have to, I mean, the media 24/7, you know. It's all fear-based, and even marketers have gotten in on it, you know. I mean, they tell you how to use a toothbrush so that you don't permanently injure yourself. I mean, it's all just ridiculous. There's no easier group of people in the whole world to make fearful than parents. I mean, seriously, when we think about it, but we don't have to accept it. We have to look at the the realities as opposed to,
The manipulations, the
Yeah, the
manipulation.
myths of the manipulation, exactly. Exactly. So.
And I'm sure you know this, that I just learned this not too long ago, that fear is the strongest emotion in all of us. It's the first one ready to kick off.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that, but it doesn't surprise me at all. There are a couple of books that, where did I recommend this? Maybe in one of my blog posts. About the science of fear and why it takes control of people. I mean, we could go on a whole other tangent as far as the safety of children is concerned, but the competitive and because of that fear, parenting has become a competitive sport, which does the children no good at all. So let's focus on cooperation and consideration instead.
Beautiful. And transitions l links into all of that. Well, what is your website? I guess people can go to your blog and learn about the courses that you offer there. What is your website?
On my website, on the home page, if you scroll down, you'll see where the blog is, where the books are, and where the online learning is. Just click on the links. It's raypica.com. So it's RAEPICA.com.
Oh, well, that's pretty easy. And I will put that in the show's notes.
Excellent.
Okay, I had high expectations for this conversation. I'm way over the top of my high expectations now. So
Oh,
just
you're used to my eyes.
maximum respect. So maximum appreciation and respect, Ray.
You, Mimi.
Oh, thank you. If there are other topics that you would like to explore in another conversation, like this fear concept or this competition. I mean, they could even be short conversations if you just want to share whatever, but let's just keep this going, okay?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And if you want to take a look at the blog topics, and pick
Okay.
something that especially resonates with you, or
Wonderful.
that would be great.
Great. And then maybe if listeners want to write to you or to join the Big Picture Learning Social Emotional Learning Podcast Facebook page and offer questions. There's all kinds of opportunities to really deepen and expand our understanding together. And that's just an extension of what you're talking about, collaboration and cooperation.
Yeah,
Right?
excellent.
Let's make the rules that we know are right instead of just, marching along to those unhappy drums.
Oh, sounds good to
Okay.
me.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm just so grateful, so
Thank you,
grateful.
Nini. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you.
Okay.
We'll talk soon, I hope.
Yes.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Wow, so much helpful guidance from a master teacher. I hope you'll check out Ray's website because she really has the kind of knowledge that can really help us all to be more and bring more for our students. Thanks for being here. Bye for now.